The United Nations Human Rights Council will today hold an urgent debate on the human rights situation in Belarus amid a crackdown on protesters by President Alexander Lukashenko. At least 7,000 anti-government protesters have been detained since a disputed presidential election 6 weeks ago, with allegations of torture and beatings rife. Overnight, Alexander Lukashenko has closed the border with Poland and Lithuania. Hugh Williamson is the Europe and Central Asia Director at Human Rights Watch. He joins me from Berlin this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What are you hearing from protesters about the kind of abuse they're suffering in detention there?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. My team was in Belarus a couple of weeks ago and we interviewed dozens of people who were detained just after the presidential elections in August. And we heard some really terrible stories of torture, of beatings, broken bones, electric shocks. One person was raped with a police baton, overcrowded cells, extremely unhygienic conditions. One man told us he had to crawl through a corridor of policemen wielding their batons. A woman told us she was harassed, sexually harassed, denied her prescription medicine. Women in her cell who were menstruating were not given sanitary napkins and so on. Some very serious allegations by large numbers of people, which were also corroborated by video evidence and other testimonies we gathered.
And what impact is this crackdown having? I mean, in these sorts of situations, it can quell the uprising, but it can also sort of motivate it, give it added momentum. Do your reporting teams have any insight into that?
Certainly. I mean, it's certainly our analysis that the 7,000 people who were arrested immediately after the elections on the 9th of August, the aim of President Lukashenko was to stop the protest, to crack down as hard as possible. Indeed, it had the opposite effect. Many of the people who were detained were people who were not involved in politics from many different walks of life. And them coming out of prison in such a bruised and battered way really did fire up the protests and really backfired from the government's point of view and drew hundreds of thousands onto the streets. I'm sure your listeners have seen and heard every Sunday for the last 5 weeks, there's been over 100,000 people on the streets. And further crackdowns. I mean, now the mass arrests have started again. 700 people were arrested last Sunday. But I think it won't make a difference, in fact, now. I think they seem to have a certain momentum behind them in the protests. They want democracy. They want human rights. They want the chance to organize and control their own lives.
And why is Lukashenko closing the border with Poland and Lithuania? What's the intention there?
I think he wants to cut off the country, to also cut off communications. He's cut off the internet several times. He wants to sort of isolate the country and continue the crackdown in that way. I mean, there's also some forms of support are perhaps coming from those countries. Both Poland and Lithuania are hubs nowadays of exiled Belarusian non-governmental organizations, political activists, journalists. So I think he wants to stop the flow of people backwards and forwards.
And some of the protest leaders, as well as political opposition leaders, have fled the country. Are they still able to lead in any capacity from afar, or is the momentum within the country against Lukashenko being driven from within?
That's a really good question, because I think it's happening on both levels. Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, who was the woman who went to Lithuania, who was one of the leaders before the election and then had to flee to Lithuania immediately afterwards. She's played an important role, almost speaking about Belarus from Lithuania. She's spoken to the Security Council of the United Nations, to the EU and to other bodies. On the other hand, the momentum really is within the country. It's not a protest movement led by a particular political party or movement. It's really coming from the ground up, the grassroots up. And so that makes it all the more difficult for Lukashenko to control. Just quickly, I mean, the Coordination Council set up by the opposition of several weeks ago, every single leader of that, apart from one, has been either arrested or been forced into going into exile. And that one person is the Nobel Prize winner for literature in the country. So, you know, it's decimated. Nevertheless, the protests go on.
And so to what extent does Lukashenko still have the machinery, the apparatus of the state on his side? Is that, I mean, from the scale of this crackdown that you're describing, it would seem like he does have full control.
I mean, looking at it, you know, factually, clinically, he certainly does. He has the powers of the security state. It's a very powerful, determined, well-resourced security state on his side. There were initial reports of some soldiers and so on, you know, taking off their uniforms and leaving their service, but that's not particularly widespread now. Of course, there's also reports of Russia support, increasing its support to Belarus. So it really needs a sort of political solution. I don't think there's going to be a solution based on a sort of a security standoff. And that's why the Human Rights Council meeting today in Geneva is so important, because it sends a clear signal that there's a unity in the international community that there's something needs to stop in Belarus, and that means the detentions, the torture, the violence, and something needs to start, and that means a political dialogue, it means releasing people from prison and so on. So that sort of political dialogue needs to take place, and that's hopefully what will be starting today.
I mean, you say it is important that the Human Rights Council is meeting today and debating this, but what sort of resolution is needed to have any sort of impact here?
What will hopefully happen is that the UN Human Rights Commissioner, a powerful body, person within the EU, will get a mandate to monitor what's going on. And that means that she can use her resources to, if possible, visit the country, to talk to the government, and to send a signal that the world is watching, that the government can no longer go along with the tactics they've been using of such brutal force and torture. She will also send a signal that the prisoners should be released, and that there should be greater cooperation between the different sides, and that other players, perhaps Russia, should be less involved, or should at least send different signals to Belarus to stick to its international human rights obligations, which are necessary at this stage. So they can do various things, those are important initial steps in turning the tide in what's going on in Belarus.
Hugh Williamson, thank you very much for your time.
Don't mention it. Thank you.
Hugh Williamson is the Europe and Central Asia Director at Human Rights Watch, based in Berlin.